Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Now, let's get to the next game, and then we'll get to the preview. Panthers versus Rabbitohs. This is a really... I'm torn with this, because watching the first half, I was like, Panthers are beatable. If I'm sitting back watching that, I'm going, fuck, they are absolutely beatable. Then they come out the second half, and I'm going, then no one can beat them. So it's going to be interesting to see, because they've had now two finals games and two really slow starts. So I wonder if that's going to be a concern, and I wonder whether the Eels can take advantage of that. But we'll get to the Panthers game. Nathan Cleary, holy man, like, the guy is just incredible. Try assist. You know, the try scored was just all himself. Brian To'o, amazing, a try. 293 metres, 80 post contact. Three tackle breaks. Dylan Edwards, 14 tackle breaks, 287 metres. Just incredible. But Brian To'o, like, he's actually waiting to... How much do you reckon he's going to get off contract? Because he's waiting until November 1st, he said.
Similar to front rowers, I don't know how much I'm willing to pay for a winger, but I'll pay overs for him.
Because, like... Back in the day, you'd say, don't pay $700K for a winger. But he's a front rower.
He is.
And
he's
a winger.
Yeah. You can go easier in your forward pack if you've got him.
100%.
He can also play on both wings as well. I don't think we've ever seen anyone like him before. I really don't.
I'm trying to think. Because, like, you've got your guys like Matty Utai and...
But these guys coming out of their own end were never on his level.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, and also the consistency and lack of errors. You know, decent reader in defence, incredible finisher. Like, he has literally it all, you know. And every time you talk about Brian To'o, someone goes, oh, yeah, but cross-field bombs. And you go, show me the tape where he's getting dominated. Yeah. Show me the tape where he's getting out-jumped constantly. It's just not there.
Yeah. I personally think he's changed the winger position. Like, before him... You wouldn't be stressed about all that much how many meters your wingers had run. Now it's we talk about it every fucking week. It's the first thing I look at to see how a winger went. You used to look at the try line column and go, yep, good or bad game.
Yeah, I think he's like a Blake Ferguson kind of really introduced those like a lot of meters. I mean, Wendell Saylor was doing it too. But I think that like Brian To'o is like taking that and ran with it.
Taking it to the next level, I think, though, that when those other guys were doing it, they were like the elite guys. It wasn't expected of everyone. I think he's taken it to that new level where if you're not running, like who are we just talking about?
Sivo.
Like, we just said he should be running for 189 metres. If you would have said that 10 fucking years ago, that would have been outrageous.
You would have said, mate, he's a winger. He's there to score tries.
Yeah, just let him score his meaties.
Which he does do. Brian To'o. And just... What a boon to the game. Like, he's got, you know, character, he's funny, he's humble, he's respectful, but he's also got a lot of energy. That try score where Cody tried to one-on-one steal, like, that'll be highlight reel for a very long time, flying down the sideline.
I believe it was called Jonah Lomu-esque.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But look, they're in the moment. They're trying to make it sound as good as possible. I understand. But yeah, that try was, look, that changed the game, really. It's a very different game. They go in, what, 12-6 up? It's a different game. They go in 12-all. It's like, oh, fuck, or 12-10, was it?
12-all.
12-all. Very different game. Timmy, what did you think about the Penny Panthers?
Yeah, it was watching the game, even at 12-0 down, I was like, firstly, wow, but I wasn't really concerned. I still thought Penrith would get the job done. Probably not as easily as they ended up doing it, but you know, they came back, ended up winning by a 20-odd point margin. Game finished, I was like, yep, no surprise. They're just that good. But then I went back the next day and watched all the highlights, went through it again with a fine-tooth comb, and you look at it and just go, well, there was the tie runaway try, and then there were three tries off kicks that were just grubbers in behind the line that were soft as, just going, fire. Like, this scoreline didn't reflect the game. Mm. You know, not necessarily saying that had they covered a few of these kicks a little better, then Bunnies may have won, but, oh, gee, there was not as much in it as I think the scoreline suggested.
Yeah, there were definitely, you know, Rabbitohs definitely shot himself in the foot. They had the game there, and then there was just, like, crucial errors here or there. But, like, the weird thing about the Penny Panthers, that's kind of what they do to teams. They make you make mistakes. They build pressure. They fatigue you. And so, like, they just hang in games for the 80 minutes. So unless you are there for 80 minutes, you're gonna start making uncharacteristic errors or not be where you are supposed to be. So, sometimes when it always happens with a specific team, I think sometimes you've got to look at it and go, okay, maybe it's that team forcing them into mistakes due to fatigue, due to fraud, for whatever it is. Because I think their completion rate in the first half was like, I think it was like 90% or something. Anyway, they ended up at 83%. And the Rabbitohs ended up 72%. But I think there's a period where they were like down really, really low. What do you think about the Panthers?
Yeah, they're just such an impressive outfit. Like, I South Sydney couldn't have played much better for the first 25 minutes.
Mm.
And, you know, you saw at the very start of the game, I think South Sydney's first set, they sort of struggled. And you thought, fuck, I was thinking, fuck, here we go. Penrith could run a train here. And then it all evened up very quickly. And then South got on the front foot. Like, I was having a look at the numbers yesterday. It was 12-0 when Appy came on the field. He left the field 56 minutes later. In that 56 minutes, they won that period 26-0.
And he was the first one to score.
Fucking unbelievable.
He's got a start, doesn't he?
Well, yeah. Sure. But in saying that, this works so effectively when they do bring him on a little bit later. He absolutely tears. He did this to you last time, didn't he, Matty? Didn't you bring him? He came off the bench and he...
Yeah, that's when it kind of started.
Yeah. That was the first game, yeah.
Yeah, it was like a late change just an hour before kickoff.
Yes, he was effective, but they're also down 12-0 without him.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But, I mean... Yeah, I mean, like, can't you just tell how different the Panthers are when, like, respectfully to Mitch Kenny? It's not taking any.
I will say Mitch Kenny's defence was fucking outstanding.
Defence is fantastic. Yeah. But, like, in attack, they look like a completely different footy side for that opening 20 minutes. And once again, that's not having a crack at Mitch Kenny. I think it's more just showing
like,
the level that Appy's at.
In 35 minutes, Mitch Kenny made 30 tackles.
Yeah.
So, like, I think he's just out there to take the sting out of the game. And you're right, it's like, where's the, like, if you start Appy, are you winning 12 or is it 12 all? But then if it's working, why change it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know.
Well, because, I mean, it's not like there was anything going wrong for them to change. It was working when he was starting. It's Penrith. It worked when he was starting. It works when he doesn't start. I think everything Penrith do works. It's just what's the best of these options.
For me, looking at this game this weekend, though, like, I would be leaning towards keeping him on the bench. I want to keep him fresh because this first 20 minutes, it's going to be a fucking war.
It's going to be a bloodbath.
Mitch Kenny, like, what would you say? He made
30 tackles in 35 minutes. He basically made a tackle a minute.
He could do 40 in the first 30 on Sunday. I don't know. This is what I said around the Origin time. I couldn't believe we started Appy over Cook. He's a guy that should have come off the bench, and I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Ivan Cleary do it again this week.
And just quickly, and he also ran for 92 metres, 40 post-contact. I don't think Mitch Kenny gets enough reps. I really don't. I think he's doing a really good job. I understand your point, Timmy. Like, Appy on has been working, so... But I just think Mitch Kenny just gets you a lot of fucking shit work, like a lot of shit. And, you know, 92 metres, 40 post-contact, fuck, fair effort.
And when he jumps into that 13 role, he's great.
Mm.
not that like that sort of roaming 13. It doesn't take Yo's spot, obviously, but just when he's playing through the middle, I think he's really good
too. Yeah, see, what I think Ivan's trying to do is split the tackle count. Mm. Like, in so Appy doesn't have to make 60 tackles or 55 tackles. I think he's trying to say, look, let's try to split that. So I've got two hookers making 30 tackles. Because when you actually look at that tackle count, Kenny's 30, Coruscant's 36. If you had Coruscant on there for what, 70 minutes, you're looking at around 55.
Well, and I mean, if he does start on Sunday, that's Parramatta's game plan for the first 20 minutes.
I'd tire him out, and tire him out.
You force Appy to make as many tackles as you possibly can.
It's tough though, like, do you start him because points are fucking at a premium from, might be, like, if Eels completed 85%, might be a real tight game, and those points that you needed, you couldn't get. It's a tough call. In Ivan, we trust though.
Yeah, he'll get
it's not right. Like he's fucking been in two grand finals in a row and he's going for his third. Good building for next year too. Shows you how strong their systems are, that they can go, oh yeah, we'll just chuck Mitch Kenny in there and bring Appy on for their whatever.
Well, I think it was Sonny Luke who got man of the match in the flag grand, or the New South Wales Cup grand final, one of them. Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane. Isaac Tungo, and apologies if it's Tago, but Isaac Tungo, 20 tackles in centre. Five of them one-on-one. Doesn't get enough reps. Got to remember, this is essentially his rookie season.
You have to remind people every few weeks, don't you? This kid is playing his first full grade season.
In centre, because he was coming off basically forward most times, I think, off the bench last year. What, four or five games? I want to talk about the great Dylan Edwards. What a like a Cinderella story for this bloke. Again, as we spoke about, the last five years especially, it's been all about fullbacks. Hype. $1 million, this, that, the next thing. The fullback that's been in the grand final three times in a row has been Dylan Edwards. And so it says something to this guy's work ethic. Like, the amount of times that the Panthers were down and out and it just looked like they had no answers and you're going, ooh, Panthers are a little bit off. Just chuck the ball to Dylan Edwards. He'll do something. He'll find a way. He'll get us a quick play of the ball or break the line. He did that constantly on the weekend, 287 metres, 70 post contact, 14 tackle breaks and a line break. He was outstanding. He was everywhere. He was actually my man of the match. Obviously, you could have easily given it to Cleary or To'o, but I just thought Edwards, you know, without him on the field, I mean, maybe they still win, but I don't know. Like, he does so much important work. It's crazy.
He's run for under 190 metres in one of his last 12 games.
Crazy.
It's fucking outrageous.
Crazy numbers.
He's 94 kilos.
I know. He's not even, like, that big. Moses Leota. I know he didn't have, like, the stats that, say, a Fisher-Harris or whatever had, but I thought he made some – I thought that tackle on Latrell was crucial. Because I honestly think – I don't think Latrell recovered. I think he was – look, I don't know, but I think he might have been a bit rattled, like, concussion-wise from that. I really do.
Yeah, I think that, and then into, you know, there was a couple of times where he threw those cutout passes, which the vast majority of times they get other teams.
Mm.
His Penrith side is just different though. Mm. Like, fits it to me, and, you know, when Latrell was throwing those passes, like, a lot of the times the defense looked the same, but Penrith, they react to everything.
Yeah.
So much better than all these other teams. I sort of felt like Latrell found himself sort of out there with no answers.
Mm.
He came up with a huge tackle on kick out one point. It was massive. Yep. He chased him down. But outside of that, I think that shot definitely had an impact on him early.
Yeah, I think it did. I really do. I that had to have hurt. That weight going together, fuck. Fair play to Latrell though. Got up, laughed it off. But oh my God. So, you know, if your job as a front rower is to fairly and legally smash the superstar of the opposition, Leota did that. And you know what? When they played the Eels, Fisher-Harris was incredible. It was Leota fucking hunting blokes and snapping them in half. So just want to give a shout out to Leota. He won't get the raps and, yeah, he won't do the stats. You go back and watch that game, nearly every big hit, he had a part to play in it. He's almost like their undercover enforcer. You got Fisher-Harris, who is the big dog, no doubt, but Leota's just as much of a dog in there. He's a motherfucker.
Right, then you got the other motherfucker.
Oh, fuck, Spencer good Leno. God. How good's he been in this final series? You know, so, yeah, massive shout-out to him. Liam Martin, I thought, had some got through a bunch of work. Isaiah Yeo, I think he's getting to a point now where he does it so consistently, so well, that we just expect it. You know, 148 metres, 55 post contact, 39 tackles, zero misses in a prelim final is outstanding. Sorensen comes on. Everyone came on and, like, did their job as well off the bench. I thought their bench was outstanding. You know, like, Salmon got, what, 8 minutes? You got 8 minutes. So let's just assume he didn't get on. Think about the impact their bench had. Api Korosau, Spencer Linu, and Scott Sorensen. Scott Sorensen ran for in 36 minutes, ran for 100 metres, 46 post contact, 23 tackles, zero misses. Spencer Linu, 125 metres, a try, three tackle breaks, a line break, 12 tackles, zero misses. And Api Korosau, we saw how that went. I mean, if you want your bench can't do more. That is, and you look at it, when did the Panthers take the next level and take the game away? It's when their bench players started coming on, Api Korosau, Scott Sorensen, and all that. So going to be really interesting to see what the Eels do to combat that bench.
Just on it too, like we spoke about the try that Api scored. Mate, the quick play the ball from kick out. He got absolutely whacked on that play. And instead of standing up and fucking around with the markers or trying to, he just...
I hate it. It
shits me so much, but it was such a smart play by Kikau to just get up as quick as he possibly could. Like the markers weren't even, I think the markers thought he was going to get up and run again. It was such a...
That's the one thing, like, when I, and look, I didn't play many games, guys, I know. Basically a loser in NRL standards. But, like, that's the one thing I always promise myself. I'm not going to worry about how I feel about something. My job is to play the ball as quickly as possible. It frustrates me when players are, like, looking at the ref, holding the ball in the hand. You're like... Bro, how is that going to help anyone? Now the next guy's getting absolutely pumped for you. And so you're right, kick out. Smart, kept his head. What I like as well, other than, like, Spencer Lean is a bit of a hothead. Not a bit, a lot. And fair enough, he got fucking head high. Like, he had every right to be filthy at that because that was hectic. They're such a controlled, aggressive side. Like, they never really... Like, I'm trying to think of a time where they lost their heads. They really don't, do they? But they're hyper-aggressive. Critter, good again. Great performance. Great performance. Cleary, look, what else is there to say about this kid? What else is there to say? The only thing, in my opinion, that's going to hold him back from true, true, true greatness is conquering the Origin arena. Because, like, I can't see a world where he doesn't at least win another premiership. And I think two premierships is enough to, like, start comparing yourself to, as in, like, if you're the guy that led, because we have to remember, I know I talk about it quite a lot, guys, but when Cleary took over, Nathan Cleary, he was the only Origin player. They now have seven. It's incredible.
But, like, if he does go out and win this weekend, I imagine he'll be $2 or $3 to win the Clive Churchill. Like, if he wins back-to-back prems with a Clive, like, Freddie won two premierships. Joey won two.
That's what I mean. You win two, like, you can get
stuck
in bed. You've got
to start to put him in that fucking conversation. If 100%. He wins back-to-back Clives.
Oh, my God.
Jeez.
No one's done that since Brett Kenny. That was 40 years ago.
Like, what was, and I wasn't around at the time, what was Freddie's or Joey's early career like in Origin? Because wasn't Joey coming off the bench at a nine or something?
Well, Joey was played a bit of hooker. Like, Freddie played Origin 18, but Freddie was playing centre.
Yeah,
it wasn't his team. Like, Nathan Cleary was owning the New South Wales team at 21. They weren't hyper-successful. But he was the seven straight away. And, I mean, he's 24. Like, in a week's time, he could be 24 years old with two premierships as the halfback. And it's his team. He's the fucking captain.
Yeah. That's where I feel like if he wins this comp, you can go as far to say, like, he's not obviously as good as Joey and Freddie yet. But any argument of, like, oh, don't compare him to a 25-year-old Joey is nonsense. Like, you absolutely can. If he wins this comp, like, this weekend, you absolutely can compare him to any 25-year-old that's ever played the game. It's done.
With the opportunity to win arguably the strongest World Cup ever.
Yeah.
If you could go and put an exclamation mark there and win, like, a player of the tournament with another premiership. I know there's plenty to do between now and then, but the opportunity's there this year to go whack.
Yeah, boom. Again, the only thing, and we've spoken about this privately, and I think you would agree, I want to get your thoughts. The only thing I think that we want to see from him is to, like, own a complete series, and then you can throw his name in the bucket of, like, Joey, Freddie. Because, like, Freddie had 2004, Joey had 2005.
Yeah, well, Freddie won 0-2.
Yeah, but as in like owned the whole series.
Oh, the Origin series, yeah, 0-4, yes.
Yeah, 0-4. Yeah, yeah. Joey owned 0-5.
Yeah.
You'd say Lockie owned 2006.
Six, yeah.
You know, Cam Smith owned fucking multiple, but I think 2017 was fucking one of his all-timers. But that's the real folklore stuff, I think, is that Origin arena.
He doesn't really have at the moment, and you look back.
He's got like, single games for sure.
Single games, yeah. But he doesn't have that series, and he also doesn't have a final series for me yet either. Like he was good last year, but it wasn't their attack that got them home; it was their defense.
I think this final series
is the one that if he gets MOM in the GAF,
yeah,
and wins it, like this will go down as one of the best final series by a 7, I reckon.
Well, yeah, right up there because he's come back with five weeks, boom, straight into it,
yep.
Killed it. So yeah, look. I don't know, like, I want the Eels to win because the history stuff, like, and I want the Eels to win also because, like, I know the Panthers are going to win another couple in the next 10 years. But in saying that, fuck, it would be good to see, like, Cleary lift that trophy, you know, after the Origin series and the negativity, the hit that he took and everything that happened and rah, 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 fuck, it'd be good to see him just go, boom. Anything else you want to add with the... Oh, quickly, Dylan Edwards. Does he have to go? He has to go away with the Australian squad, surely.
Can they fit him in?
I just, as the second fullback.
Yeah, but they're also going to have a number, like they're going to have Latrell there.
Mm-hmm. Would you play Trell fullback for Australia or would you just...
If Teddy was out.
Well, do you think Meninga sees him as a fullback? Put it that way. Because there's a lot of clubs that don't see him as a fullback.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't hesitate from playing him there, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. If I'd selected him and there was no other fullbacks in my team,
it's tough, though, because if I take Dylan Edwards, in my opinion, I take Dylan Edwards to play him at fullback.
Mm.
I wouldn't play Edwards on the wing. I don't think I could shove him in at centre. Whereas you've got all these other guys. You've got your Jack Whitens, your Matty Burtons, your Latrell Mitchells, who can play multiple positions, who I would probably lean towards taking them over Edwards, despite Edwards having a better season.
Yeah.
What are the chances you're actually... Like, you might use Edwards for, you know, a pool game. But I just don't know if I'd take up a spot. And that's incredibly unfair on Edwards. Yeah. But it's just the way it's played out.
Yeah. What do you reckon, Timmy?
I suppose, yeah, it just depends how many positions they've got. I think Teddy's obviously first-choice fullback. Really interesting to see what happens with Latrell. Like, it's probably the best thing for the side... Let's say Teddy did go down injured. Yeah, like, what's the best thing for the side? And I think that's nearly Latrell at centre. I don't say that with confidence, but if you can go Latrell at centre, who, with a lot of these defections to the Pacific Nations clubs, maybe we can use that firepower in the outside backs. Obviously, no Tommy Turbo's there as well. So if we put in, say, a Gutho or a Dylan Edwards at fullback and Latrell at centre and let him roam around a little bit, play that Joey Manu sort of centre role, as a team, I think it probably works better. Mm. In terms of Dylan Edwards, as I said, it depends how many fullbacks they take and where they see Latrell playing if Teddy's out. But I feel bad saying this, but I'd probably still go Gutho just ahead of him. As you said, a bit more versatility across positions. Can probably play as a bench utility more if needed, although there's probably not a spot for that. I think I'd just go Gutho ahead of him if it was between them two.
Yeah.
The other one's just Hines.
Yeah,
take Hines. You could play him as a one if you wanted to.
Yeah,
as well.
I think Hines would be more taken as like a definite half backup. And you've got Hunt at nine.
So you're taking Cleary, Chez, and Hines, or
yeah, I think so.
Take all three.
Yeah, okay. I think so. The one unlucky one to miss out, maybe Wharton or Whiten, but I don't think they will.
You think they'll both go? So do you think Hines goes or not?
I think Hines goes.
So you think they'll take Chez, Cleary, Hines, Whiten?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think one of them will miss.
One of those.
As in like Whiten or Whiten or
Burton.
Burton will miss out. I think one of them, I think, will miss out. Unless Edwards miss out and Gutho miss out. Because there's no point taking... I don't think there's any point taking Whiten, Burton, and Hines, and then you take Gutho as well because it's like... You've got a lot of it covered. Mm. So the coverage isn't the issue. It's more the specialty, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
And that's why the Edwards is the specialty, like boom, straight in fullback. It's interesting. To be honest, I think we'd have to sit down and go, 30-man squad.
Yeah.
How many can you fucking fit in here? But it's going to be tough.
Like, it'll be interesting. Like, if Penrith do win this grand final on Sunday, like, if I was Dylan Edwards and I don't get picked, I'd feel hard done by. So, yeah, if I was Appy and I don't get a bait, I'd feel hard done by too. Yeah,
fair call.
Do we think Appy's maybe jumped Damien Cook? I personally think he has. Mm. I think he's sitting behind Ben Hunt and behind Harry Grant probably.
Fuck.
But you could arguably have him in front of Harry Grant.
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I think Harry Grant's like, because he's so relatively young.
Mm.
Mate, it's a tough one. I think you'd probably take three hookers. So you take Benny Hunt, Harry Grant, and then either Appy or Cook miss out. Which is fucking so bullshit.
Appy that goes personally. Yeah.
Wow, what a tough side to make. Seriously. Anything else? Anything else, boys, with the Panthers?
They're a good footy side.
Fucking oath. Now, quickly with the Rabbitohs. Look, just the game was there. The game was there. They just made some really crucial errors at crucial times. I thought, unfortunately, Latrell Mitchell had a pretty poor game. And look, I think a lot of people get caught up looking at Latrell's stats, and you can't look at his stats to see whether he's had a good game. He is not like your typical fullbacks. He's never going to run for 250 metres. I mean, he might every now and then. In saying all of that, he had a poor game, unfortunately. I just felt Latrell, from the get-go, was looking for the big play instead of just tucking the ball. If I'm a coach with Latrell, and it's hard because he's a superstar, he's literally carried that side into the finals. If Latrell doesn't come back, that side doesn't make the eight, honestly. But I would honestly say Latrell, first 3 to 5 touches, no passing. I want you to run straight and hard just to get him in that mode, in that mood. Then look to pass the ball. And I thought on the weekend, he was just too soon looking for that big, big cut-up ball. The one time he did hit short, they scored.
Yep.
And so, like a lot of people, like, you know, all the Latrell haters come out and, yeah, where was Latrell, this, that, the next thing. It's like, guys, human beings have quiet games. Like, it wasn't that long ago, Nathan Cleary apparently wasn't a big game player. How many big games does Latrell have to fucking kill it in before we say, just an off night for Latrell. Just an off night.
Yep.
It's not a good thing, like in the sense of like you want your superstars to be on in the big games, but every now and then have an off night.
Yeah, and it worked out well for the Latrell haters that he played Penrith off a week off too, just quietly.
Mate, it's just, yeah. So, he had a poor game. There's no denying that. I thought it was really tough to just get up and keep playing after that shot from Leota because that was incredible, massive hit. And he wasn't the only one. You know, I thought Cody Walker, you know, probably didn't have his best game as well. I actually thought their forward pack was quite good, the Rabbitohs. I thought their forward pack was quite good. I thought their centres were outstanding. I thought Tass and Campbell Graham were incredible. Tass, 211 metres, 163 metres for Campbell Graham. Took some of the toughest carries you'll ever see. I just thought that just a few crucial errors really, really hurt the Rabbitohs at crucial times. But at the end of the day, successful season. I thought Richie Kenner was pretty good. I think, what did he drop, one ball? Was it one? Anyway, I thought he was really good out of his own end. Just crucial errors at crucial times that hurt him. Put it this way, if they had closed out that first half, I think we're looking at a very different game. I think that the fact that they went into the break at 12-all, it just broke their heart.
It was demoralising.
Yeah, just broke, like, they should have gone into the break 12-0 up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you obviously mentioned there you want Latrell's first few runs just to take them on. Like, his first few were, because for the first 5 minutes, so Cleary was in control and he was just dropping kicks to him to force him to run, kicking early, putting it on the deck and whatnot. But, yeah, then the South Sydney defense, like, I had a lot of people that messaged me and said at halftime going, my God, Cleary's kicked for 400. It's like, yeah, because of South Sydney's defense.
Yeah, it's been incredible.
Like, I think that those kicking stats can be a bit misleading somehow. I think that was full credit to South Sydney that they had him on the ropes for
Cleary was kicking on 4 regularly,
yeah.
And that's a sign of you're getting dominated.
Yeah, and they were. They were getting pushed back. They were in all sorts for the first 30 minutes. And it just shows, like, we've said it all year. You know, we said it with the Sharks game, the exact same thing when they took on Penrith. The Rabbitohs, they played to that intensity for 30 minutes and got blown away. The Cronulla Sharks that night, they played to that intensity till about the 50th.
Yeah,
they got blown away. You just
Has to be 80.
Mate, you can't play. If you play 75 minutes, you'll get beat.
Yeah. And that's what they do. They just get you in this. Every time you think, why are all these errors happening in this team against Penrith? It's because they just force it out of you. They're so grindy.
And like, there was a moment there where like Penrith were in all sorts and Mitch Kenny was a dummy half and there was a bit of confusion where he was meant to go. And it completely fucked the entire set. Not a single one of them put their arms up. Or said, they're just comfortable.
Mm.
We always say comfortable being uncomfortable. That's how they are. They're just happy to be in the grind because they know they're going to last longer than you.
Yeah. Timmy?
Yeah, a bit of drama at the bar, boys. I've just poked myself in the eye.
Hate when that happens.
I've been rattled for the last 5 minutes just hoping you weren't going to throw to me and you didn't. Thank God. I don't know what we've been talking about. Fortunately, I'm back.
I saw you. I was like, are you really tired? No, I was going to say, mate, you want to have a break.
No, straight in the eye anyway. I'm back.
It was actually me beak, bros. My beak fucking got you across the top.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, unfortunately, and I did hear you among the chaos of talking about Latrell Mitchell there somewhere, and mate, you spoke about everything he's done this season. I'm with you. I think they probably struggle to make the eight big time if Latrell doesn't come back this season, but he didn't have a good game. He had some really good moments, as Latrell does, but just positioning, he got caught out a few times really poorly with those three tries in behind the line, the grubbers. That was so, so soft. Now, he's the polar opposite player in every way to someone like Clint Gutherson and Dylan Edwards, who, if they're in that game, I reckon probably two of three of those at least don't happen and they're covered because they were very easy tries. They were very, like, credit to Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai, who spotted those gaps in one line so well, but the positioning was quite poor, and it just, every time I see these easy tries in behind the line, I think back to, and I've spoken about it in depth before, but just the fullbacks defending at A. And it's kind of like you can't have both of these things where you have them defending in the line but then expect them to be there to cover every kick. Mm. One thing I did come up with potentially that if I were a coach, I think whenever possible, I'd be getting my fullback, when they're at that A marker, to go the short side.
Mm.
Now, if it's a good play of the ball, you can't always do this, but at least if they're the short side, as soon as the ball goes to the open, they can fly in behind the line and cover this. Whereas the try where Cleary kicked in behind for Lemieux, he was at A on the open side, and I was like, mate, you've got to go. Then I looked at it again. If he goes, the gap opens up, Cleary steps off his right and goes straight through. So there wasn't a lot he could do.
Mm.
But if you do keep him short side, at least they can go in behind. On the flip side to that, there was also the one where Cleary kicked for himself. Latrell was at A on the short side. Cleary being the genius that he is. I don't know if he thought about the time, but it's clear. So probably he went to the short side, attracted Latrell, had a bit of a jink, then went back to the open. So Latrell was out of position, grabbed it in, it was just open.
Yeah, I watched that. I just think that maybe the Rabbitohs are the ones that are most guilty of it. But there are some of the clubs as well, too greedy by putting your fullback in the line there.
Oh.
I think it's too greedy. Like what I love, if you go back and watch the Eels a lot, what they do is instead is they trust Gutho to get across to the wing as the extra man. So, like, they go, okay, Gutho's not in one, but we're going to trust that if as we come up, he's going to be tracking so hard that if they do strip us and they're 5 metres out, he's going to hit him as he gets the ball. It's a tactical thing, and I understand why Rabbitohs do it and other teams do it, where they put the fullback in the line to deceptively deceive and make the attacking team feel like they've got no spare numbers. I just think it's too greedy. I think you got to be safe, similar to what the Eels do, and when you're on your line, don't put him at A. Don't put him at A. Or if you put him at A, like, make the B soup everything tight, really, really tight, so that they can get in behind, because as more tape gets released, more and more clubs are going to start realizing their fullback's constantly in the line. We're just kicking it straight behind because at the very least, we get a repeat set. So, yeah, I agree with you in regards to the positioning. I think it's a mixture of – I do think his fitness needs a little bit of work, and it is a mixture of tactics. I think it's just too greedy. I know why they do it. It's like the short dropout. I know you're a fan of it. It just stresses me out. Seriously.
I'm with you, and I think you talk about Gutho, and rather than him being at A all the time, there's more of an idea of let's get him and be that last man to cover the winger. They still get the extra man, but they get him out wide as opposed to being tight. And that's what teams did for years and years and years prior to this fullback at A market coming in the last sort of 2 to 3 years, where it's like it worked for a couple of teams, then every other coach in there said, oh, we have to do that as well. We can't get left behind.
You know who did it a lot? That I don't know if he invented it, but he kind of introduced it to do it a lot. Darius Boyd.
Yeah. Yeah.
He would get into the line really regularly. I just think it's found out now.
And it's like they've gone, that's the only way of doing it. Well, I still like your fullback being the last man on the wing and flying across. Now, both sides, whether they're at A or whether they're flying across as the winger, have their pros and cons. But I tell you what, the method of para where you've got Gutho sliding out on the back all the time, you don't get these grubber tries in behind that, or you get them occasionally.
Well, how many times have we seen that this year where the fullback's been in the line and they've gotten beaten? Not just the Rabbitohs or Trell or whatever. There's multiple times it's becoming more regular where you see everyone goes, where the hell was the fullback? And then you watch the replay and you're like, oh, he's in the front line.
That decided that prelim final. Not saying Penrith wouldn't have won otherwise, but three tries they scored off it, where there wasn't anyone within cooee of the ball.
I think it's a tactics thing from Rabbitoh, mixed with obviously a bit of fitness from Troll. I agree. Like, I just think it's got to change. It's just risk. Like, it's so much harder to score a try on the wing than it is around the ruck. So why not go, if you're going to score, you're going to do it in the corner, and we're going to have a fullback that's tracking all the way to get there. So, look, I think a full big off-season for Trell's going to be great. He's got other things that other fullbacks don't have to deal with, in the sense that he's such a big, big, strong body. He has to make sure that he stays on top of his fitness, because if he stays on top of his fitness, like, he could... I know we say it every week with talented stars, but he really could be anything at fullback. Like, his silky hands it's a sight I've never seen. I've never seen a player as big as him be able to throw cutout balls like it's nothing. That's why he's a superstar, you know. We praise him when he does really well, which he has done. He has been phenomenal ever since he's come back. But unfortunately, you know, the big fella on the weekend didn't have the best game. And it wasn't just him that didn't have the best game, but hopefully he goes away after the playing for Australia, has a rest, comes back, you know, ready to go next week. Because I think more than ever now, he's going to know personally, like, they need him to win comps, period. But that's it. There's no one's going to help. No one's going to save it. They need him to win comps.
And it will be interesting with this World Cup. Like, it'll be the first off-season in a while where he'll have 4 or 5 weeks off instead of 12 or 13.
Mm.
So it'll be interesting to see how he comes back next year.
Yeah. The good thing is like, you know, you can focus on the one game, and it was the biggest game of the year, no denying it. But at the end of the day, when you look at since he came back, he was outstanding. He was outstanding. So the evidence would suggest he's going to have a great year next year. His last 2 years have been a bit stop and start with everything that's gone on. So... I'm backing the big fella in, because some of the stuff he put off this year was absolutely phenomenal. And I'm sure he himself is like, you know what, probably could have a bit of a better game. Same with Cody Walker. I'm sure Walks, you know, thought there were certain things he could have done better. But again, to be totally fair, we're talking about the Penrith Panthers here, you know. Like, we're talking about one of the most dominant sides we've ever seen. Like, 32-12 probably didn't reflect the game. So I don't think the Rabbitohs fans should be too disappointed at all. Just want to give a quick shout-out to Keon. It's really easy to be like a front runner in a game that you lose 32-12 to run for 133 metres, 61 post-contact, 3 tackle breaks, 40 tackles with 0 misses. If that doesn't show you how far this kid has come, I don't know what will. What, 23 years old now? 22, 23 years old, 40 tackles, 0 misses in a prelim final against the reigning premiers. That's incredible. He's 24. Like, that is incredible. He's got so long to go. I think next year's going to be an even bigger year for Keon. I thought this year he was absolutely outstanding. And he's no longer like the kid with potential for me now. He is now an elite back rower. And if his name isn't in discussion for Origin, if he wants to play for New South Wales, I'll be surprised. I'll be surprised next year. Cam Murray, as usual, gets through 1,053 tackles, 162 metres. I thought Seller came on and played really well.
He's going to have a big season next year, I reckon. With Mark Nichols going, there'll be a spot that will open up there. I think he's going to be in for a big one. He's He's warmed to the task a number of times this year, and then he cops an injury where he's out for 2 or 3 weeks. You go and have a look through his season. It's sort of like 4 or 5 weeks straight that he misses three. Then he comes back, he recovers. I think he's going to do really well next year, Salah.
Yeah. So Rabbitohs fans, like, disappointing, obviously, but at the same time, what a year. Like, we're talking about a post-Wayne Bennett side here. Usually it's a disaster.
Yeah.
Got to a prelim. Who knows? Like, if you had a play, maybe you play on the other side of the table. Maybe you do make it to the final.
I think for South Sydney, though, to come out of this season, I think the number one thing they'll come out saying is we need to finish top four.
They give us that second chance.
You're going to win this comp. You've got to finish top four.
Yeah, it's such a benefit.
It just can't be done.
Like, look at like the Eels.
Yep.
They lose that game, they get another shot, and they just get bounced to the other side of the comp, which the other side of the table.
Kempy, it's almost 2 weeks in a row that you've unjustly overlooked the GOAT. Marky Nicholls.
Oh, sorry, Russ.
Another notch on his resume. First try scorer last week. First try assist this week.
Oh, fuck.
Mate,
man.
He can do it all.
He can do it all, the
ball
big fella.
Ball in hand, whether he's dishing, whether he's doing it himself. Led me to do it a few more deeper dive on big Nosey Nicholls. He 12-6 in this game when Nosey was on the field.
Yeah,
big stats, 126 metres. They won 10 of 14 games since he came back from injury this year. May have coincided with Latrell Mitchell coming back, but 4 of those losses included the Panthers twice and the Roosters. So, mate, don't underestimate the loss of the big fella.
It was the big fella all along.
I just don't know where the points come from next year.
Anything else to say about the Rabbitohs, boys?
No, good season.
Good season.
Well done, Tom.
Yeah, incredible season. So well done, boys. Especially everything that all the players you lost and the coach and rah rah. And I'd be excited next year. Lockie Ilias, another bloody. Year under his belt.
Just quietly, he played 3 sudden death games of finals footy. He missed 4 tackles.
Oh, that's such good defence.
Considering Angus Crichton put his pants down in the last week and everyone was talking about his defence. What a bounce back.
Yeah, massive. Absolutely massive.
We'll say one more thing about South. In their last, like, we saw how good their run was at the end of the year. The teams they had to play in their last 11 games has been Storm, Sharks, Warriors, outlier. Eels, Panthers, Cowboys, Roosters again, Sharks, Panthers.
Jesus.
And, like, that's where, you've got to cut Latrell a bit of slack here. Like, he had one poor game. Look at the teams he's played and absolutely, played incredibly, in. So, look, there's no denying your superstar players need to stand up. That's absolutely. But when you bird's eye view... Not bad, not bad.
It also makes it so hard when your superstar players have to stand up for the 8 weeks before that to get you into the.
Yeah, it's true.
When you're finishing in the four and you can have, that 2 week period like Parramatta had and the Cowboys had at the end of the season where you can sort of go, okay, we're in. We need to focus on.
Well,
that month.
Eels are a good example. Their superstar player, the big game, played poorly, but they had players around him to help him through that, poor game. And unfortunately, Rabbitohs, they're just so reliant on Trell. Like, without Trell, they're not even top 8, probably, really. Anyway, I actually have to go, boys. I apologise. So we won't be able to preview quickly. We'll just do a quick, who do you think wins, Guru?
Penrith.
Matty?
I'll go Para.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I just think Penrith will be too good. Look,
we've got him finally. I've got him.
Actually, you know what? I shouldn't do that because, I've gone this whole year.
Yeah.
No, but look, I'll put it this way. If Eels complete over 85%, they win the game. But I don't think – I think Panthers. But yeah. I want Eels to because the whole year I've been backing them in. They've been incredible. They haven't let me down. So we'll see.
No, I've been very anti-Parramatta all year. I'm more nervous than I ever have been now.
Yeah.
Credit to them.
Well, they're a scary side because when they complete at a high completion, they beat anyone.
Yep.
Literally. So
I will say, knowing from South in 2014 what it was like, So many Para fans listening to this, we've never seen their team win. So just for that reason, I want to see Para win.
That's what I mean. I want to see Para win. Just be, I want the Para Eels fans to fucking feel that shit. Like, Panthers, they're going to win a few more comps. Like, that's it. We all know that.
I'm bleeding gold and blue this week. Bleeding gold and blue.
Yeah, it'll be incredible. I want to, and we love an underdog here. We love an underdog. But I just think Cleary, Penny Panthers, they'll find a way. They'll find a way. But who knows? I've been wrong 1,000 times this year. 1,000 times. Yeah, put it this way. I've been wrong. More wrong than I've been right. But anyway, that's us done and dusted, guys. Remember, this Sunday, we'll be outside the stadium at the Locker Room Hotel doing a live show at 4:30 p.m. In regards to any questions about, you know, underage people, can they come, whatever, give the Locker Room Hotel a call. It's going to be chockers, guys, so get down there early, get your spot, celebrate the year with us, and as usual, I'll go and fuck myself. Thank you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.